All right, hello again, and welcome everyone to Supergirl Gab, the show where we watch Supergirl and then we talk about it. I'm Chris.
And I'm Katie.
That's right.
Yay!
just like we planned. So this week's episode was season 2, episode 20, I think, City of Lost Children. And Katie, I will just go ahead and tell you that this was possibly the most distracted by the world around me episode ever. I was just finding it very, very hard to focus on Supergirl this week, even though I wanted to. And I thought this was a pretty good episode. What did you think?
Yeah, I did too. I mean, it's another strong episode, tying in, I think, the strengths of the most recent plot stuff.
Yeah.
And has really good character stuff in it. I'm interested because there were, like, a lot of season 2, there have been a lot of where the B plots take up pretty much as much time as the A plots, or you can't necessarily tell which one is which. Like, you couldn't say definitively which one, you know, counts. So I think it'll be interesting as we get into it, which ones we think were more successful than others, because there are a few different things that happened this episode.
Yeah.
But it's another one where I'm just like, this is getting to be a really strong, like, last fourth of the season.
Yeah, you can really feel like everything sort of had more of a purpose than some of those water treading episodes from earlier, from like more the middle of the season. It's like everything is clearly I feel like these seasons always kind of they know where they want to start and they know where they want to get to. So it's like start of the season pretty strong, back end of the season pretty strong. And then in the middle, it's a lot of just water treading, waiting to get to the stuff that they want to get to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking of, like, I was trying to think of a show that's not on Netflix, that has shorter seasons that make the more, like, better use out of it. Did you watch The Good Place this year? It was the one with...
Yeah, no, I started watching it, and then just, like everything else, it's basically, it's like, the only TV that I, like, was able to consistently keep up with as far as shows go was like the stuff that we were watching for Comics Alliance because I had to, and everything else just like would kind of fall behind. But I think I watched like the first 4 episodes and I really liked it and then just kind of forgot about it.
First of all, I would highly suggest checking it out. I actually started, I think it was like late November when I really needed to be distracted from the world for certain reasons. Yeah. I ended up binge watching to catch up, and then I watched I think I even waited until to watch the rest of the episodes after the break until the season was over, so I did another like big binge watch. But that's a really at least for the first season. I don't know what season 2 is going to be like, but the first season is really tight in terms of character growth and progression of the story. There's really no fat to be trimmed on that show. But there also aren't that many episodes. I think there were at most 10, but maybe 12. Like there were definitely not more than 10. Yeah, it was very tight. Okay. And it worked for its benefit. And
I wish more shows would do that.
I know. I hate to say like I want less Supergirl. It would not be the worst idea for them to tighten up just a little bit so that, because I think that you can get a lot of fans dropping off when you have lackluster episodes in the middle that feel like they drag on a lot. But this is a problem with like all the CW superhero shows.
Yeah.
Maybe not Legends of Tomorrow. Yeah, we did.
Where it's just like, you know, it wouldn't bear so much repeating if you didn't see, you know, if we didn't see so many shows have these same problems. And I think that as much as I don't want less Supergirl, what I would like better than more Supergirl is more really strong, good Supergirl. And if it's like, I would much rather have 10 episodes that were like amazing than 22 episodes that were a lot of peaks and valleys.
I'd even take like 17. I feel like 17 would probably be a pretty strong.
That would cut a ton 18. Of those. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, like you cut a couple of those.
Three six episode arcs, more or less, you know? That would tighten it up a lot. I mean, I feel like most of the things I got annoyed with Mon-El would probably have gotten out of there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's a good point.
So this episode is really, again, a continuation of the plot, specifically the plot with Rhea. It is Rhea, right?
Yeah.
On my notes.
Yeah.
I was thinking, yeah. I wasn't sure if it was Rhea or Reina with an N. Yeah, it's with a Y.
It's Rhea, yeah.
But it continues, her plot is basically the big bad of the last part of the season, which is what I was hoping for, and that I'm really excited that Terry Hatcher is just getting so much to do.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's so good. It's so good to see her work. But
I can't believe we haven't seen Dean Cain show up yet for the two of them to have some kind of scenes together.
It's going to happen this season, or she survives till next season and they find some convoluted reason for him, for like Rhea to kidnap everybody that Kara cares about or something. They wouldn't do this. I mean, they did. They got back on The Flash. They got back Mark Hamill to play the trickster. They're going to, like,
yeah.
These people
miss the opportunity.
Yeah, they don't stunt cast and then not give you the fan service that you're expecting. They got Mark Hamill as the trickster to say, "I am your father," to another character. they do not shy away from this sort of thing.
They don't miss a trick. Yeah, they know what they're doing with that stuff at the very least. Yeah, so, but this, I'm just trying to think. Well, I was kind of trying, obviously, we're ended up through a number of different technical difficulties. We are recording this much later in the week than we had planned on. And because of that, I'm struggling to remember, to see if I can really remember, like, what all happened in the episode. So let's kind of go through it and talk about what the main plot is. Or the main plots were, because there's like two main plots, and then there's like a little side plot with Mon-El
they all kind of culminate together, which
they all work together
in a way that worked actually quite well for me.
Yeah, instead of feeling like they're one of the episodes where it's like, oh, we're just giving these characters something to do to remind you that they're on the show this week. Everybody's, you know, subplots and side stuff all seems like it's not necessarily related, and then it all ties right back in together very nicely. So let's just go by the characters. What was Kara's main deal this week?
So it's funny because she kind of is a side character in this. Now that I think about it, she was there and she helped save the day a few times. But largely she was there to try to stop. And that connects back to the other one. So,
the episode start with the Faeorian attack, or did it start with Jimmy?
It began with Jimmy saving a woman from being mugged / attacked in some weird alleyway attack. And he saves her, but then she's just as afraid of the guy in the full, like, armor who sounds all gravelly as she was with the... And he's realizing that, you know, he spent all these months trying to stop these guys criminals from hurting people, but he's also just... He's not doing what Supergirl and what Superman do, where they inspire people to be better along with saving the day.
Because he's always out at night instead of... Yeah, he's always out at night instead of...
This is jumping ahead a little bit because there's a great Kara and Lena scene that I want to talk about. But when he's... One of the best parts of this episode for me as a human being who appreciates... who is hoping for specific things to happen in season 3. So Jimmy tells Wynn at, like, near a falafel stand, because Wynn found him at his favorite falafel stand. but saying like, I don't want to inspire fear, that I don't like, I'm just making people afraid with my like big suit and like attacking bad guys at night. And then he goes, Jick's like Clark's friend. And Wynn does a little like finger point up, like he's pointing ears and goes, oh, you mean, well, I think they're more like frenemies.
Yeah.
And but all right. So between this, between like mentions of other vigilantes that Kara disapproves of in other cities, the mentions of Gotham earlier on where they're like, oh, we should just move to Gotham. Mm-hmm. If they have to be right, like they have to be setting up.
No, there's no way.
I really think they are.
No, I don't. No way.
Okay.
I think it's just it's a fun thing they can get away with, but the fact that the show Gotham is on another network right now.
Yeah, but Gotham's its own thing. It doesn't like
exactly. But I mean, Fox would the legal stuff that they would have to go through to try to actually do something with Batman or any of the Batman characters while a different network with a completely different set of showrunners and blah blah blah. Like the reason that Flash could show up on Supergirl. Back when Supergirl was still on the CW, why they could do that crossover was because, you know, it was like all sort of like the same group of people and it benefited both of them. But unless Supergirl was going to be using like the Gotham version of characters, there's like no way Fox would put up such a fit. I think it's just the kind of thing where they can like, they're doing as much as they can legally get away with without actually saying anything. And it's just a fun thing to make nerds like us go, oh, he's talking about Batman.
I know, but okay. I'm still holding out hope, which the show is about. The show is about hope, Chris.
Okay.
That I will, because I guess who's not on Gotham? Batgirl. Batgirl isn't on Gotham.
Oh, that's true. But isn't I guess Barbara hasn't even been born yet.
No, and she's probably not going to be because Jim and Barbara Babs's mom are not even, I don't even know what's going on with that show. I don't watch it. I just know that there was like that whole relationship like dissolved well before she could get pregnant. So okay. Like, I don't think that Babs is ever going to be canon in Gotham. I'm just saying it. And then like, they could just have her show up and they can make, you know, reference to the big guy. Cause that's exactly what they did for Superman for like,
yeah.
For how many episodes? Yeah, like nearly.
We'll just see Batman's feet from a distance.
Yes, yes, exactly. You'll just see like the tiniest silhouette. And yeah. I mean, if they wanted to, they could even do Stephanie Brown. Like, if they were worried about that, like that mentioning Gordon. I just the show and the CW shows have done so much to bring in. I mean, they brought in Superman. We didn't think that they could do that because of the movies.
Yeah, but that wasn't like out of the realm of possibility because of the, you know, sort of because of the way that what the deal with are the police coming for you?
Oh, you can actually hear that? No, yeah. No, it's just Chicago.
Oh, okay.
It's just Chicago, and I'm by the alley, sort of off the street. Okay. I thought you were suggesting something like Gotham.
No.
That's
I was making reference to it just because I was like, I'm sure that the listeners will also hear this, so it's like,
well, you know,
maybe
how
I should say something.
I mentioned to you before that when you had the train noises, and I said, well, we don't really have the train sounds where I'm at anymore. Like, that was where I used to live. Now I have like weird alley noises. Well, part of weird alley noises is just randomly police sirens.
Yeah. Okay.
It gets into the Gotham feel. But also, so I will say though, there is supposed to be that Titans show. So I'm wondering how the heck they're gonna do that, if they're gonna bring in Nightwing for that. I know that's something totally different, but I'm just pointing it out. Like, they're at the point where all these show, like all these characters are so popular, and I'm hoping that they're recognizing that trying to keep certain characters like regulate to like certain things is not going to make for a better, larger user universe in any of these shows.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I'm still hoping for season three. Maybe just having Batgirl show up for.
I would absolutely love to see how this show handles Batgirl. Like, I think that would be awesome. And if they can, I mean, I will go ahead and I will put in my vote for saying I hope they can do that. I will hope along with you that they can do it. But I'm also, I thought you were just saying like that maybe they would get Batman, and I'm saying Batman is a definite no-go, but I think Batgirl is maybe within the realm of possibility.
I'm not as keen on them using Batman just because it feels like
it's, well, that was kind of dumb of me to think that you meant Batman. I was like, just because we were talking about Batman, but I should have known, like, knowing you, I should have been like, oh wait, no, she's not talking about wanting to see Batman. She wants to see Batgirl, which is like, which, and the, especially Batgirl, sort of like the way they're doing her now.
Yeah, like
which
the Burnside yellow boots.
Yeah,
like,
which is, oh my God, is how I hope they would approach Batgirl if they tried to do her for this show. Because I feel like she would fit, that version of Babs would fit in perfectly with Supergirl.
Honestly, that one or the Stephanie Brown, because Stephanie and Kara had had a really interesting dynamic in the old continuity. Either one of those I think would be really fun. And again, if they didn't want to step on Gotham's toes at all and not bring in like a Gordon family member, then Stephanie Brown would be interesting. And also it would throw a bone to all the Stephanie Brown fans who never get to see her in anything. I'm a fan of all the Batgirls, by the way. Babs is my favorite, but I will always stand up for the other Batgirls because I think that they're all very interesting. So anytime any of those,
ranking?
Don't make me choose. No.
The only reason I asked is because you already said that Babs is your favorite.
Well, so Babs is my favorite because I grew up with her, and like I was like Batman the Animated Series, like that Babs.
Yeah,
we'll
absolutely.
Always have a close part. Like that's my personal childhood favorite.
Yeah,
like so I have to explain that, but I really like Steph and Cass, and there have been a few others that have been kind of like in continuity in different time periods and stuff that are all really good. I really need to at some point. I wrote a version of this for panels.net when panels.net was still a thing. We have got way off track, by the way. We just got onto a tangent, I just realized. But I will say I've done, and I talked about this a little bit, I think last week or this week on Twitter, in terms of the interesting thing about the Batgirl mythos, because there's some similarities in how the Batgirls all have gotten into being heroes, in terms of defiance and then using another person's like mythos and iconography and making it their own. And it's really, for me, like that's the key point of the character, like the character of the hero, no matter who is taking on that identity. Like that's the key for me. Anyway, sorry. But yeah, so from that one little joke came this tangent because that's get how, into like my favorite characters.
Yeah, exactly. But that's how good conversations work, I think. Or at least, at the very least, good podcast conversations.
So anyway, Jimmy feels like he's not doing what he wanted to do when he wanted to become a hero. That he's all about, you know, punching bad guys, but he's not about inspiring people and making people feel safer, which was really what he wanted to do. And then right when he's having this discussion, an alien woman, her eyes start glowing and some psychic energy starts happening and a bunch of stuff starts flying all over the place. And Supergirl saves the day. And I think Jimmy helps a little bit, but it's clear that Supergirl's one that saves the day. And then the scene ends.
Yeah. I just want to say real quick about Guardian, or Jimmy as Guardian. What I really hope this is leading up to, and I don't know if this is necessarily the point of the episode. In fact, I would say it's probably not the direction they're going. But he could fix this so easily by making that costume look more like
nice and bright. Yeah.
Yeah. Make it look like the version from the comics. Cause that, that Guardian costume is like such a cool, and it's like, you could so easily translate that into the costume that they've already made. It's also weird that like Wynn would make such a bright, colorful costume. You know, he seems like such a superhero nerd, and he's like so in, and he's also so into making his costumes and stuff, that he would make, Supergirl's so, you know, bright blue and red like Superman's, and then he would make Jimmy's like just all black and gray. Does not seem like the kind of thing like a real someone who was like a big superhero fanboy would do.
Yeah, I'm not gonna like it's. I mean, I could no prize this and be like, oh, maybe Jimmy said something, or maybe thought because of the night. But yeah, it is. It would be interesting. I honestly wonder if that's what they're going to go for it.
I hope it is. If they're going to keep him, I mean, if they're going to keep him as keep this Guardian thing going, I sincerely hope that that's what they do with it. And that was like sort of part of the point of this episode. Definitely not the real point of Jimmy's story this week, which was a much more meaningful and what's the word I'm looking for? I thought Jimmy's story this week was great, and like showing that he is a hero in and of himself without, you know, without having to go out and beat people up.
I really enjoyed
all of that.
I'm trying to think of the word. I guess, I mean, thoughtful, but in terms of just, they touch on some things with Jimmy here and there, especially the fact that, you know, they cast a black actor to be Jimmy, and obviously Jimmy in the comics and in most of the other media hasn't been black. And I like the fact that they don't do it a lot, but occasionally they do point out the fact that Jimmy in this universe is a black man, and how and what that pertains in terms of how he has to live and how he's seen. Yeah. The fact is that this little alien boy who looks like a black kid, sees himself in Jimmy and feels safe. And then their whole, the fact that the kid is again, a refugee, that his mom came here, and that they were, I think his dad was a soldier and died, and his people keep getting turned away from different planets. This is actually, I give the show credit that they started with this fairly relevant topic at the beginning of the season, and they haven't backed down from it since it's gotten more and more relevant.
Yeah.
There are a lot of great moments where Jimmy is helping this kid open up more and more, so that they can find out where the mom is. And really, like, the best moment for me in the whole episode when it comes to Jimmy is the scene at, I think it was after Marcus, who's a little boy, has his own like psychic trigger that makes his eyes go and basically makes him lose control. And not realize that he's causing complete mayhem. But and it's after they've stopped him, and I think he's at the DEO. I think he's at the DEO at this point. And Jimmy is talking to Marcus about Clark. And he talks about how when he was already different. Jimmy was already different when his dad was alive, because he was like the only black kid in like a predominantly like white school. And then his dad died, and it just made it even harder for him to feel like he had people around him that he could trust. He always felt alone. And he says, I made a new friend. I moved to Metropolis, and I made a new friend, and this guy was different too. I didn't realize how different he was. I just knew he understood something most people didn't. And because of that, I trusted him.
Yeah.
And it's like this, I'm dying for flashbacks between the meeting, because,
oh man.
And I know we probably won't get it because like it kind of was explained in this episode, but you know, we've seen Clark now, and this version of Clark is so good.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, he seems like
they would kill it with that actor and with this understanding they have of the way that they've kind of positioned those two characters, that could be one of those things that people would be talking about for a very long time if they did it.
I think there was I think there was a scene that they shot with Jimmy and Clark at the beginning of the season, and then it must have gotten cut out. But I'm just dying for them.
They want you to buy that Blu-ray.
I know. I'm just dying for more interaction with them. I'd love to see some flashback of them first meeting, because Clark is, for all intents and purposes, Clark is like a, we assume, straight white man in America. But he has so much, the best versions of Clark Kent and the best versions of Superman have such insight and empathy for people and so much compassion, and in a really human way, not in a like God looking down and showing compassion on the little humans that he happens to live near. Like he sees people for who they are. And the fact that the best stories about Superman don't show that as a, okay, but what's the catch? Those are the kinds of stories that really resonate with me when it comes to Clark in the comics and in shows and stuff. And here it just, I mean, I had to rewatch that scene because it was so good. And when I forget who what the actor is who plays Jimmy, what his name is.
Michad Brooks.
Yeah, he's had a couple of scenes. He had a scene last season where he was talking to Bizarro Supergirl, but talking about what makes Supergirl Supergirl, and that's not just the strength. And he does a really good monologue. When they give him a good monologue, he kills it. And this, for me, that was the part. And later on, you know, he has his scene where he's helping Marcus break through. And it's a good, and it's a monologue that ties directly into this one about breaking down walls. But this, him talking about Clark in this quiet moment, like, it was one of my favorite scenes of the whole episode.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, that's like a standout moment for the character in the show, in the entire show.
Oh, I'm so happy Clark's coming back. Gosh, yeah, it's just so good. And I know that, like, I know realistically we probably shouldn't get a whole show about, like, the Daily Planet in this universe. But I also want to see that so bad. Like, there's a part of me that wishes that there was an alternate universe where that show was also being made. Or that show had been made first and then Jimmy came on to do Supergirl. Like, I kind of want that. But then I start thinking about who I'd want to play Lois, and I'm still hoping to see Lois at some point. I really do want that. I just want her to be then done as well as Clark has been.
Yeah, and I certainly don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. Not this season or anything, but I could see that happening next season.
Yeah.
Maybe they could bring Lucy back as well. Have a reason for Lois to be there.
Yeah. And I would
we haven't seen Lucy any this season.
We haven't.
Right?
I mentioned it like every three episodes that I'm really sad that Lucy hasn't been around because I really liked her in the first season. Again, she actually reminds me a lot. We just talked about it off mic before we started the episode, but I'm behind on Riverdale, but I was getting into Riverdale for a while, and she actually reminds me a little bit of how they handled Veronica on Riverdale, because both characters have had not super great personifications in the comics in the past. Both of them have been portrayed as jerks in the past, and I felt like both characters had a lot of nuance to them. But I miss Lucy. I'm hoping that we get to see her a little bit more, because I mean, I don't think she's coming back this season, but maybe next season it would be. I mean, she's still running like half of the DEO, apparently.
That's how they explain her away? Oh,
I
she's
think
just
so,
so
yeah.
busy.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, I don't think they've actually said her name, which has been a bummer. But yeah, I'm hoping that maybe we can see her again, because I found her really engaging in the first season.
Yeah, she was. I don't know. I liked the portrayal on the first season. The first season is also kind of like just a hazy memory to me, except for like some of the big things.
It's been so long ago.
It really does feel like it's been forever ago.
Year. I mean, it has been a year since it ended.
And so much has happened, not only in the sort of fictional lives of Supergirl, but just in all the other various, not only our real lives, but all the other various, you know, fictional lives that we're interested in and trying to keep tabs on. Yeah,
for the Super Family, the comics, a lot has happened.
It's been a real big last half a year or so.
Yeah.
So it's just, guys, don't hold it against us if sometimes we can't remember all these things. or don't hold it against me when I can't remember, because I think I am way worse about some of these things.
I say that, or you say that, but then I'll be like, oh, who's that person? And then I'll be like, who's that character? She wears the cape, flies around. Oh, right, Supergirl. Right. Super, I cannot think of the somebody. Name. Yeah. Yeah. So we find out kind of mid episode, even though it's pretty, I forget if it's, I think that they show it happening more or less in the second kind of psychic attack or whatever they end up calling it. But that the reason for it happening was because of the experiments done by none other than Lena and Rhea.
Right.
In this weird part of, near the town that no one was worried about them building a gigantic weapon thing. It's
a giant Stargate.
Yeah. Like no one, is this like in the third Spider-Man movie where they just happen to make a thing full of sand and like in a gigantic, particle collider.
Yeah.
And no real explanation. At least that one was like a government. It was clearly like a government facility thing. This one is just, it's just a corporation building what looks like a super weapon.
Well, I think we're kidding ourselves if we don't think that corporations aren't using their land to do whatever the hell they want all the time.
That's a good point.
You know, if it's their land, then it's like, oh, we can build whatever we want here. We're not doing anything illegal yet.
There's still some flyover ability though that you think that someone would question. And it was pretty fast too. That was a pretty fast build.
I guess. My big thing would be like, you would think as much trouble as L Corp, even though that's not what it used to be called, as much trouble as they have had, not just in the past with Lex, but even just since
they getting permits to do anything.
Yeah, even just since like Lena has come on the scene, like all the things that have gone wrong in that town or city that have sort of directly involved her. In one way or another, you'd think that she and the company would be under like mega intense scrutiny just constantly. Also, you would think that Max Lord would have shown up at some point to have something to say about any of this.
I was thinking about that like this morning. That like, oh yeah, and it's not even something that was I just thought of. I've been thinking about this the whole season that him
what
and Lucy.
Happened? What happened at the end of the last season that they could, because have they even mentioned him at all this season?
Not, I don't think, I just think that they just don't want to talk about him.
They're just like, nope, that didn't happen. We're done with that. No one mentioned that.
He's brewing somewhere. He might come back.
Yeah. I think that it's like everyone who was like, I'm not moving to Canada. Was like, even if it's only for like a couple months, all the people that are just like,
he never knows when another Twilight movie is going to come up. So you gotta be ready for that.
Gotta be ready. It's just so weird that they had these people that were like such a big deal and then just like not a peep.
Yeah. Maybe it will be something where they make it a thing in season three. You never know. Yeah. The one kid from the flashback came back. In the first, like,
well, it's just as worried about aliens as Maxwell Lord was in the first season to then this season there's just aliens hanging out everywhere, like it's demons and vampires in Buffy or something, where it's
yeah,
just
that's,
like,
that's a good yeah, point.
We've got our own bar. Like last season, it was basically like Superman and Supergirl were it. And then like when people found
villains.
Out about,
yeah.
Well, I mean, they showed up is what I'm saying. Like, but the ones that the world sort of like knew about and were comfortable with were like, well, they were comfortable with Superman, but in the first season, people were like, a lot of people were like, I don't like this Supergirl, or like, it's too many aliens. And now there's just like alien bars yeah. and people just walking around, aliens walking around in normal clothes, like, oh, hey, don't hassle me. I'm just trying to, what? And it's like,
I'm trying to buy weed.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and there's
something that happened this episode.
Yeah. Like what in the world has this, you know, like it's a huge shift in the, not just the population's point of view, but sort of like the show's POV. And I get that this episode, they're kind of taking a completely different, they're sort of intentionally taking a totally different approach to aliens, treating them instead of as the bad guys every time. It's like, oh, the aliens are now clearly a metaphor for real life aliens.
Yeah.
It's just very, it's a very interesting sort of tonal shift when you look back and compare the two seasons, which often I don't think we really have, you know, sort of when we're so wrapped up in the just dealing with the individual episodes, it's kind of like you sort of don't give yourself that time to try to look at it as like a whole thing and go like, man, let's really stack these two things next to each other and see how different they are. It's more just like, okay, let's, you know, this is what we've got to be concerned with that happened this week and let's see where this is going and blah, blah, blah. But, man, yeah, now that I think about that, it's not just that Max is missing. It's that the entire population's ideas about things have completely shifted. And it seems like it's almost like a completely new world, to the point where you could kind of go like, do you even need that first season at this point? Like, you, it seems like you could kind of start watching. The second season seems so different. You could almost just treat it as its own first season.
Yeah, I could see that. I think, I mean, the only reason why I would suggest people watch the first season, honestly, if
is
they're like,
Kat.
Is for Kat and just like, and there's some tonal stuff.
Yeah, there's some,
there's some really good episodes in the middle of that season. I still think the one where she lost her powers has still one of the best scenes in the show, period. Where she, when the, in like the convenience store where she has to convince the like robber to put down the gun and her
great.
Hand's broken and like, and
she's trying
shaking.
To be cool about it.
Like,
yeah.
Bet like some of her best acting in the series period, but I mean, like it was moving, but, yeah, I felt like that was really the show hitting exactly the note that I needed to hit that season. But yeah, I do agree that like if you wanted to try out the show and you're like, oh, do I need to watch both, like I need to watch two whole seasons, I could almost say, you know, try starting with the
I think you're gonna
season. You're gonna
yeah,
get spoiled a little bit, like you might get spoiled on the on the Jean stuff. I kept a lot of people from...
Oh, I thought you were saying you were going to get spoiled for the quality with those first two episodes with Superman being
that's
so
true.
Good.
No. I just meant because, like, you're going to find out, like, that whole... That awesome reveal that made me flip out. I assumed that we were never going to get to be happy and, like... it's going to end up being, like, another alien. And then when they say, like, Mars... Like, I think they had mentioned Mars... I was like, oh, it's going to end up being like another, it's going to be another Martian. It's not going to be Jean. And then he said it. And I think I jumped out of my, and I did like a dance and I was like, and I was flipping out. And then
first time he turns into that and it like, you go, oh my God, he totally looks like Martian Manhunter. I was just like, that is so awesome.
Yeah.
And I thought then we were going to see him like that maybe once a season. And then the fact that they have had him turn into a legit comic looking Martian Manhunter so many times is
fantastic. They do it as much as they can, but they do kind of do the like, no, he likes to stay like okay show, that's all right. I still remember, sorry to get back to an episode we're not actually reviewing this or like talking about this week, but that so at the time, I was living in Chicago because I just moved up here, but my partner was still in Indianapolis because he was finishing up school, and he had not gotten to watch. I think he had to. I think it was an. He had it on the DVR, like he had school, and so I made him. I said, "You cannot look at Twitter. You cannot look online, and I need to be on the phone with you as you watch this episode. Like, I need to hear your voice."
Yeah.
As and I could hear him going, "No, no, they're not gonna, no," and then flipping out. It was joyous. So and then yeah, I was doing my very best to not spoil anything for people, because I'm like, no, you need to watch this episode and not get spoiled. Anyway, sorry, that was again we're getting off back. Okay, we have not said a word about Lena this episode, and it was another really interesting development for her.
And that part where she and Kara are having lunch. I guess it's lunch when they're that scene where they're eating and talking, you know, and catching up about stuff or whatever. And she's like, "Oh, I can't wait for you to meet her. You're gonna love her, I promise." And I was just like, "Oh no,
no, you're not." Yeah, she's like a real mentor. I really feel like connected to her.
I'm so glad that they did not do that thing, which is what I expected to have happen. Which was, and they, I love it when they. When there's the obvious thing that they could do and you're like, "Oh, that's probably what they're going to do." And then they don't do it. It's like, I point it out every time this happens. Cause I want to applaud the show every time it happens. Cause it's like, yes, thank you for not just doing the lazy, most obvious thing, which I thought they were going to do the thing where like Lena loves, Rhea and just thinks she's so great and blah, blah, blah. And then tells Kara all about her and Kara all about her. God, why are these names so hard? To keep straight.
It's all these alien names. It's like Kara.
Kara and Lena and Rhea. Yeah. Anyway, Jimmy. Yeah. So I thought they were going to do that thing where she's like, you know, just on and on about how great she is and she just loves her so much. And then when Supergirl or when Kara meets her and she like, she knows who it is, but she can't say anything. And it turns into a thing where it's like, puts her and Lena against each other. She's like, "No, my friend is trying to help me. You're just jealous, blah, blah, blah." And they didn't do that. They immediately had Rhea like show her true colors and be like, "Yeah, I used you. And here's how my awesome thing is working."
I do love that the first thing she said was like, "No matter what happens, I want you to know, I genuinely think you're lovely." Like, yeah, I genuinely think you're amazing. Now I'm going to betray you.
you really were pretty cool.
I like the fact
cool,
that, she very, that she was very clear. Like, I am not bullshitting you. Sorry, I know you'll bleep it out. It's fine. I'm not BSing you. I genuinely think you're great. And I'm so glad we got to meet each other. Now I'm going to go destroy the Earth.
Yeah, exactly. Now to take my place as queen of the earth.
Now to take my place as queen of the earth and get my son back, because this will totally work. This plan is flawless.
Definitely going to work.
But before we talked about the lunch scene, I am very happy that we got to see Kara and Lena talking about boy bands and like and their OTP, their like childhood OTPs, and just being genuinely, and again, these actresses have a lot of chemistry. So all the dialogue, which could have been stilted if they clearly didn't have a good rapport, but feels really good like this far into the season, because Kara, of course, is a dork. And Lena, who is a serious businesswoman, has a friend that she can actually talk to about this who won't like judge her for liking apparently silly things like 90s boy bands.
Right.
It was just a really sweet, scene of friendship, which the show does not disappoint me on they do a really good job. And I think when we were talking about Lucy too, I mean, I know that Kara wasn't as close to Lucy, but there was still that sense of like, even with the drama between the love triangle of Jimmy and Kara and Lucy, there's still a friendship that was brewing, but between them that was really lovely. And
they got past all of that stuff. And then that was what kind of, you know, towards the end of the season, you saw them going like, oh, well, having them be sort of like not liking each other was sort of the predictable way to go with it. And then to see them subverting that a little, and then by the end of the season, have them sort of going like, no, they're both, you know, they realize that both of them are good people who are trying to do good. And it's like, yes, I want more of this, which has been...
Well, and Lucy's tension with Kara was always with Supergirl. It was never with Kara herself. Even when Lucy like started to suspect stuff, she never was particularly adversarial with Kara, which I really liked. But it ties back into Lena, because the predictable thing when I heard that Lena Luthor was going to be on the show as a fairly prominent character, I was like, oh, here we go. We're going to get this character that they frame as the bitchy one that's going to be ruining all of Kara's plans because she's an evil Luthor and that's what the Luthers do. And of course, then we're set up to like mistrust her because we're waiting for the shoe to drop. And as you said, we keep waiting for the predictable thing of her turning evil or there being conflict in weird ways. And they keep subverting that.
Which also I just realized as we were talking about it, I was going like, oh man, they're doing all of this. And I feel like if I want to give them credit for being really clever, I would say that they are doing all of this and they keep setting up these moments where you think, oh, this is going to be where it happens. And then it's not. So that then at the end of the season, when she turns on her, you know, when something finally does happen, it's going to feel all that. It's going to be that much more of like a stab in the back or the gut, or, you know, depending on where they stab us.
Yeah.
It's going to be that kind of thing where it's like, oh, this makes it even worse because they were such good friends.
I'm interested to see where this is going to go. You did not get to see the preview for next episode, right?
I did not.
So we know that at the end of this episode, Rhea has basically taken, I think she's taken Jean, an unconscious Jean, taken Lena, who is also unconscious, and then taken Mon-El up to her spaceship, I think, or whatever wherever her lair is. I forget. I don't think she has a spaceship.
Her evil lair.
Her evil wherever it is. But in the preview and in some of the screenshots I've seen for PR stuff. She has put Lena in like this red gown with this decolletage that's almost, I think it was like black, but like black wires. So she looks very elegant, but I'm still calling, I think, or maybe I called in my notes. I didn't call it last week because I definitely wrote this down. And I think I was saying this during the episode, like, I think Rhea is going to totally try to set up Lena with Mon-El and be like, you are a much better girl. You're like, you are a much better mate for my son than the girl that he was seeing. So, right. Look how nice she looks, son. Why don't you just like, I see her as a daughter already. So this is perfect. You wanted a human girl. There you go. That's what I'm anticipating. But my thinking is they would have to do a lot to make her turning bad in this last episode actually feel like it works. Because, it's been set up a lot, but she's also not the kind of character who would let her world be destroyed. Especially for selfish reasons, like a newfound mother's affection or, you know, personal gain.
The fact that Rhea has like already shown her, you know, kind of shown her true colors.
Yeah.
Really makes it go like, okay, it wouldn't make sense for Lena to then like side with her, or I don't know how they do it, but I mean, it feels like, oh, that's how they could be setting us up to just, you know, so it makes it hurt that much worse.
Yeah.
But maybe not.
I mean, she is going to be on the show next season, so it's not like they're going to defeat her. They could make her a nemesis, but I just don't, like, it would be a real stretch at this point to make her, like, a full nemesis.
I would be more than happy to see them just continue to be friends.
I'm assuming Lex might come next season just to actually bring tension.
I'm trying to think of like what there could possibly be, what could possibly happen or be an issue that would make Lena, that would like be a plausible reason for Lena to like turn bad. And there's been all these things that have happened where you could go like earlier in the season where you go like, oh, this could do it. Because their friendship hadn't been as strongly established
yet.
Yeah,
that's true.
And it's like each time one of those things happens and then they subvert it, you see that their friendship gets even stronger.
Yeah.
So it's like, man, what on earth could actually do it? Because you've got like, you know, you had the thing with the boyfriend who she was starting to reconnect with and you thought, oh, maybe that's going to be, you know, like a wrinkle. But it's like, turns out, nope, we're on the same side again. You know, you got this new surrogate mom who seems great and is such a mentor and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no. The thing with her real mom, she had a chance to like work with her and finally have that motherly affection that she'd always wanted, but then she did the right thing. And so it's like all of these, it's like, what's left that could possibly be a thing that would justify that? And maybe there's nothing. Maybe they really are trying to be like, look, we're trying to do something different. We don't want it to just be a copy of Superman and Lex,
which would be good. Not that I anticipate this being the catalyst that turns her bad, but I do wonder if the season finale is going to have Kara either choosing to tell Lena that she's Supergirl or it being revealed to her.
And then she just feels like super betrayed and lied to and like,
she just goes like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I get why you didn't. Like, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if I don't think even that would be a catalyst. I'm just wondering if that's the next step in their
well,
relationship.
That's kind of the only thing I could think of would be that like, she would feel like this whole time, if she found out she was Supergirl and then Lena, thinks that this whole time Kara was basically just tricking her, like, and she never wanted to be her friend. She was always just like doing that thing of like, I'm just keeping an eye on you.
But you know, honestly, like with everything that they've done, like, I feel like that would be a really big assumption for Lena to make. And she could totally, and I don't think she's the kind of person that would not understand Kara keeping that from someone that she's only been friends with for, you know, a few months.
Yeah. Well, and so, to say nothing of the fact that it seems like, you know, Lena and Supergirl have
get along
a pretty
well.
Good.
It's not like
they get along pretty well too.
Yeah.
They have
to
a good
point where
working relationship.
I'm almost wondering if Lena has figured it out because, again, as Maggie has pointed out, they look exactly alike. Like they're not exactly dissimilar. So it could be that she's already figured it out and she was just like, well, I was too polite to.
Yeah. It wasn't my place to.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, you needed to tell me in your own time. Yeah. Which would sort of be like, you know, paralleling some of the coming out stuff they did earlier in the season, where if she was like, yeah, I knew it was you, but it was not my place to say, you know, or I wanted to wait until you trusted me to something like that.
Yeah.
I could see them doing something like that, which would also be great. I would love nothing more than for the two of them to just get to be best friends and nothing go wrong with it, and them just be happy and be there for, you know, to back each other up, and totally not a Luther thing. I would love to see this show just keep doing something different and keep, you know, that threat is sort of always there dangling in the back of your mind, but because there are people who have been friends for years and years and years who, you know, something happens and they do end up, there's just something that...
I mean, there is that little show called Smallville.
Exactly. Yeah, I was thinking about that. But I mean, Smallville was like, you knew it was always building
towards
that.
I should say, I never actually watched that show, but
we should watch some Smallville while Supergirl's off. Watch a couple episodes.
I've been told by a friend of mine that to actually just jump into like when Lois shows up, because Lois showing up is really good. But
Lois is the version of Lois on Smallville, I think, is probably the best version of Lois in any, like, you know, popular media. Well,
even more
okay,
than
wait, no,
Terry?
No. I thought you were going to say then Superman the Animated Series.
That too, but I feel like, I mean, that one's I feel like those three tend to be the ones that people point to, like Lois and Clark, Superman the Animated Series, and then Smallville.
I think she did a way better job of sort of being the, what I think is great about the character of Lois Lane. I think the Erica Durance version on Smallville was better than the Terry Hatcher version.
Really?
But yeah, but part of that is not, that is not Lois and Clark or Terry Hatcher's fault. Part of that is that the, you know, at the time when Lois and Clark came out, sort of like how Lois had been in the comics, there was big strides in how Lois's character was presented, and like her, the comics, and sort of not just the comics, but also sort of the world, made some real big strides between like 1992 and 2001. Yeah. She didn't even show up until like the fourth season, I think. So that would have been like 2003, 2004, 2005. Which I have all of these seasons, by the way.
You know, like I said, I have a friend of mine who is constantly annoyed with me that I've not watched a show, as if I don't have more things. I need more things to do. So in terms of our summer stuff, I'm not saying I want to spend the entire summer watching the show.
No, we could do some good episodes. We could pick out some good episodes.
Yeah. All I know is that my friend Kristen, because I'm going to shout out to Kristen. She starred as KR7 on Twitter. But she was like, you need to watch the Lois stuff because she's really good. And like her and Clark together on that show is really good.
She is way better. She deserved a better Clark. And I liked Tom Welling, you know, like especially like early on, he was a great like teenage Clark. But when they started, but the longer the show went, the worse.
Yeah, I've heard this.
The longer the show went, the less he seemed like Superman. But man, Erica Durance is great. Michael Rosenbaum as Lex Luthor is just like phenomenal. And you want to talk about some stuff where it's like tragic when you're just like, oh, why is everything gonna, this guy, he's like such a good guy and he's trying so hard to be a good guy. And it's like, but you still, it's always that inevitable looming doom.
Yeah, we really, really need you to, speaking of things that we need to share between the two of us, and also about Lois Lane, and I've mentioned it before, but we really need to get you reading the YA novels because
they're so
when we're talking about, again, they're written specifically for like preteen and teen girls, so some of the narration
who I heavily identify with,
yeah, okay, so you'll be good. So they're written for that demographic, but Lois in it is so, and it's from a first person, like the first person narration. So it's
all, how old is Lois in those?
I think like 15 or 16.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah. So again, we are going to get back to the episode, but I want to talk about this book really, cause the book just came out like 2 weeks ago and it's like the third one. It's so good, but she's an army brat and she keeps basically almost getting kicked out of places, but her family keeps moving fast enough for her to, but she keeps hearing about like her personal file, her permanent record. And apparently it's huge, just full of these like scraps she gets into because she keeps finding like things to try to stop, like where there were,
she's a righteous troublemaker.
Like, yeah, a righteous troublemaker, like an unethical teacher or like a kid who accidentally brought his scientist father's like nuclear weapon to school for a science project. And then she figured it out and then had to like start a fire of her own to get everybody out of the building. And then everybody was like, why did you start a fire? That was a great thing too. Gwenda Bond, who wrote this, also, there are a couple, three, I think there might be two or three short stories that she wrote that were like prequels of all the weird things that Lois has gotten in trouble for at schools before she moved to Metropolis. So right. You kind of hear about, but she ended up, so you get to find out exactly the details of how like she got in trouble before. So by the time she goes to Metropolis, her principal is already like very, very worried about this like new girl that comes to school, and she immediately more or less gets like her smart mouth gets her hired on, gets her in trouble with the principal, and gets her hired on with Perry White to be one of the junior reporters for like their online magazine. So that was like her first day at school, was getting a job with the Daily Planet.
Which is a nice setup for her future.
Yeah, yeah. And then the rest of it is just her solving like crimes and like in getting scoops, and it's super good. But yeah, when we're talking about Lois Lane's, who's not in the show, so we keep talking about characters who are not appearing in this episode. Yeah. But when we're talking about like Lois Lane's that really nail what work about the character, like, yeah, she's like, that portrayal is really up there for me. And I'm super excited about when the show's going to be over for the season, so we can actually get into these things we want to share with each other.
This is exciting. Also, like, man, I've been going back and rereading the Peter David run of Supergirl.
Right. Which one? What year was that?
It started in like the, I want to say maybe like 93.
Okay. That makes sense. So that just was like right after Crisis, right? Or like fairly...
No. This was like this was after this was like, what? No, it wasn't 93. It was later than that. It was like maybe 96. It was like a couple years after the death of Superman.
Okay.
Which I think is probably the best collect, you know, sort of the best volume run of Supergirl comics, where it's like it's just, and they just recently put them back in print. DC within the last like year has done two big volumes, so it's like easily accessible now finally, because the old trades had been out of print for forever, unless you want to just go, you know, like dig in for back issues.
But
I've been going back through that, and I would love to read some of that and have us both read some of that and talk about it and stuff, because that is I didn't pay much attention to it when it came out, because I was probably too young to care about like comics with girls. I mean, I like Supergirl, but I'm not, this seems like, it was not like
I was like nowhere near comic shops. I had no one who was into comics in my life. So like, I didn't even know about, like, I'm still kicking myself that I didn't know that there was a Batman the Animated Series comic, because I would have loved that.
Oh man, and that comic is also, those collections are like
really
amazing.
Good. Yeah. It's one of those things where I had no clue what was actually out there besides like the comics themselves, but like posters and stuff that I would see that were like cheesecakey as heck. So I was like, oh, well then I'm not going to step into like, even there was a comic shop. Anyway.
That's not for me.
So a lot of times when people are like, oh yeah, this run from like 90s, I'm like, oh, you mean the dark ages, but like the dark era, where I had no, there are very few comics from that time that I've picked up, unless like I've specifically gone looking for them, just because I had no clue what comics were out then.
Yeah, well, it's like how rich this version of Supergirl's character is, like sort of how many layers and like just all the stuff, all the things that happen in that series. It's kind of like, you go going back and like kind of rereading some of the stuff now, I'm going like, oh man, I completely understand now why the early days of, you know, comics internet, why people had such a fierce devotion to this version of the character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
and then,
that's
her midriff just kept getting bigger and bigger.
Well, no, that's a different version of Supergirl.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I mean, we could end up talking about that. I don't know if that's going to be the half. That's why anyway. I'm so relieved about the way she's being handled now, in multiple comics now, but the way that her design is, and the way that she's being written in her current main book has been just really thoughtful and good. So that's always something good.
I still need to get caught up on all of the Rebirths, the new Rebirth series.
Yeah, I'm like one issue behind now because there was one that came out and actually had Batgirl in it. Which
that's cool.
That's fun. Yeah, she's because in the annual, she and Babs teamed up. Kara actually asked her for help, and Babs is like, okay, how late can you be out? Seriously, because I know you're in high school. And Kara's just so happy that she's helping her with a case that she hugs her, but she hugs her like above the city. And she's like, okay, you can put me down, because she's kind of like hovering. But yeah, and then they basically said in the annual, it didn't, they were able to save the day a little bit, but like, not all of the mystery got solved. So they said, oh, we're going to have to figure this out, aren't we?
We're going to have to team up again.
Very soon. And then they were like, stay tuned for the next issue of Supergirl.
I miss when annuals used to do stuff like that, where it was like, it didn't just feel like a throwaway thing. It was like, no, this is actually
something. That was actually the Batgirl annual, because then there was a villain from the Fletcher Stewart Tar run of Batgirl who showed up. So it was actually the Batgirl annual, but it was still a team up with Supergirl that then would point to the next arc of Supergirl. But yeah, so
if you're going to your comic shop, just look for the covers that have Supergirl and Batgirl both on them.
Yeah, that's usually a good sign. That's usually an easy way to do it. So I think that came out this week, so that should be a fun team up. I know that in the preview they have a bit where one of Kara's classmates, who is also like she's becoming friends with him, but he doesn't know that she's Supergirl, but he's super science-y along with her, and he's kind of fangirling over Barbara Gordon, because Barbara is like owns her own energy company in Gotham now, and she's super smart, and she's doing that while still like going back to school, and he just thinks she's great. And then he's like, Kara, look, this is my classmate Kara, Ms. Gordon, do you know? And then they have this moment of like, oh yeah, I think I've seen you, like on TV.
You look familiar.
Yeah, you look familiar. And they have a few little winky, and kind of like throwing shade at each other, but in like a good-hearted way, but without the other character knowing. It's pretty fun. All right, back to this episode, which we keep getting away from.
Let's wrap to try to keep things a more timely fashion than we have the last two episodes. Yeah. Let's try to wrap up where this episode went and what we thought.
Should probably mention like that scene with Mon-El towards the end.
Where I was going, where he's shoot like, her.
I didn't recognize it the first time when I rewatched it. But he's like, "Yeah, I'll meet you there. I gotta get something," and I think I just said a gun. He grabbed a gun.
Yeah, that was quite a surprise when he pulled a gun. I was like, "Okay, maybe they give you those at the DEO." He can be like, "Hey, can I borrow a gun for this?"
Normally I don't, but yeah.
I'm not into gun violence by any means, but I was like, no, this is clearly a bad time. And do you think he bought for a minute that his dad killed himself?
I have to assume, but I was like, when she started saying, when your father found out, I assume she just said like, she was going to say he died. And then when she pulled when he found out you betrayed us, he was so upset that he took his own life. And then I said immediately, even though I think that this isn't actually how it went, but I said through stabbing himself in the back. It was a very elaborate suicide.
Yeah, he had like a whole contraption rigged up. He really wanted to make sure the jump.
And then I think I remembered. I was like, oh, wait, I think she did stab it in the front. But it was a funny enough joke that I felt okay with making that joke. It's like, I have to assume he did, and that he felt really guilty. Interestingly enough, so I don't go on Tumblr that much anymore. But if you thought that I didn't like Mon-El, man, you should look at Tumblr, because there are some people who loathe him to the point where when he dropped, apparently they felt that when he dropped the gun, he was actually betraying Kara and choosing to side with his mother. And I'm like, there's No. I mean, look, it's no, it's
you not. Still don't. He's showing he's not a bad guy. All right. I mean, even though I was saying he should shoot her because she's clearly the bad guy, but it's like a good guy would not shoot his own mother. You know, like he's too much of a good guy, and he's Kara has taught him too much about being good.
Literally, literally this episode when he actually does a smart thing where he tries to double check before giving her misinformation, but then immediately tells her, "Hey, just so you know, I thought I saw my mom. I didn't want to tell you until I knew for sure that I was just seeing something, but I wanted to let you know." And I was like, "Oh, this is actually mature." And
he's learning.
He's learning, and it feels like, you know, a responsible, like a thing that an actual person would do in a healthy relationship. But he says, like, you know, I hate
a healthy alien relationship.
A healthy alien relationship, with a subspecies of your own. I don't know. It's the Daxum Krypton thing is vague. But anyway, so, but I like the fact that she says to him, you know, it's okay for you to miss her. You can be angry at her. You can think that she was wrong. You can think that she did horrible things because she did. But, and even though she like wants to kill me, it's okay for you to miss her. She's your mom. Like, of course you do. And so it's one of those things where, I mean, this putting the gun down, I mean, if Kara had seen him holding a gun to her, somebody tells me that she would probably be telling him, okay, Mon-El, don't, like, just get her in restrained, but don't actually, you know, shoot.
Yeah, we don't kill people.
We try really hard not to kill people. Like, let's, like, compassion and forgiveness is kind of a thing with Kara, you know? So, yeah, so it was funny to me that, like, there was just a very vocal section of the fandom that was, like, that was seeing this as an actual betrayal. And I'm like, okay, I'm not even, I don't root for this relationship. But even I can see that that's a really big stretch. I mean, clearly he was just, you know, he didn't want to shoot his mom. There's a difference between that and betraying.
I guess what I'm saying is people on Tumblr are dumb.
Okay, I'm not going to go that far. They just, first of all, some of them are very young.
Some of them are very young.
If we're going to start talking about, like, we could talk about fans on Twitter. Let's not.
Let's just talk about good things.
Yeah. But I thought it was a really interesting scene.
Twitter has exhausted me this week.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. I've muted a lot of words, and there's still things to come through. So, yay! But yeah, so it ends with Rhea manipulating Mon-El to lower the weapon, I would like to point out, I'm pretty sure I predicted this, that like basically all of Daxum comes swarming in to take
you
over.
You said you thought they were gonna like move the whole planet.
Okay, I also said at some point I did say like bring in a ton of their people.
Yeah, no, I think you hit it way closer than I did. Yeah. I thought it was going to be the kryptonite thing, but you said the thing about moving
kryptonite. You don't know what they're doing next episode.
Yeah, I have no idea what else is coming through.
But yeah, and then Rhea takes. I think we said she takes John, who has been is being mentally tortured because the guy has not had it. Like, this is the second time he's been mentally tortured with, like the shadows of his past.
Yeah. Just like, enough has not gone wrong in his life.
Like, yeah.
Can this guy catch a single break?
Yeah.
He finally found another, you know, person he could, like, really share a cultural past with. And then she's like, I gotta bounce.
I'm wondering if she's coming back. Maybe she and, like, their renegades are gonna come back for the finale and help. And help save
that'd be
day.
Great. Yeah, man, if there was like some renegade white Martians to come in and help, that would be
super cool. There's also that thing Rhea says regarding like torturing Jean, where she says, "Oh, I got this off a white Martian." Are they talking about the president of this universe?
Oh man, I forgot about that.
Because I can't surely think of any other white Martian.
Right.
Maybe that's where she got her wardrobe from.
All right, guys, we're putting it together. We're working it out.
And that would also, I mean, that maybe is how, maybe that's how McGann finds out that he's in trouble, because they're paying attention to, like, the white Martian that's infiltrated the White House.
I would also love to see McGann be on that, if they're going to do a Titan show, I would love to see McGann be on that.
That'd be cool.
I mean, I guess they're probably, maybe they're, well, no, I was going to say, like, maybe they're kind of skewing, like, a little younger, wanting it to not be.
But I think they're doing, like, I mean, it seems
I think it's going to be grown-ups, though, because they're using Nightwing instead of, like, yeah, it's probably not, that's why they're not calling it Teen Titans, I imagine.
Is it made by the same people? I know it's not going to be on the CW, but.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's going to be on, never mind. Probably, like, a totally different crew of people.
They could still do it, though. I don't know. It'd be nice to see her, like, doing just other things or doing stuff. I know that a lot of, I've seen people be kind of disappointed that, you know, yeah, we got McGann, but then she kind of, the person who was supposed to be her uncle figure is now her romantic partner, and also then she disappeared, and who knows if she's coming back.
Yeah, to be fair, though, I mean, the show is called Supergirl, not, like, Supergirl and all of her super friends, and the budget for this show is only what they can do. They've got, I would rather see them invest the screen time. It's like I said, you know, they keep introducing these people, and, like, sometimes it's characters where we're like, oh, I really like this character. Or in your case, sometimes it's a character where you're like, I don't think I like this guy too much. But, but you know,
I did
it's
it
like
at the beginning, I was like, oh, let's see where it's going.
And we kept saying, like, just we were both like, just as long as they're not romantic, it's fine. But then it's all he's grown on me,
like a fungus.
The way they handled some of the things has been bad, but then the way they've handled some of it has made me go, look at how cute they are. But
anyway. But yeah, I understand the character stuff, but it also feels like it is, again, the whole not always using their time wisely in terms of the storytelling of the show. So
absolutely.
It feels like they didn't. It took a while to get to make it. Also, the train. I can hear the train now. So
yeah.
We're,
I was gonna say.
So
like,
all
it's
of our,
train time here.
Our background sound effects are complete. But anyway, so yeah, in terms of the end of the episode and where they're going, like I said, I know that Rhea puts Lena in some, like, royal Daxum drapery.
Which
so
I can't wait
fun.
To see how that turns out.
Yeah, but she looks great. I mean, that's the good news. But the other news is that she probably has a first-class window to, like, the destruction of the human race.
Yeah.
I know that in the preview, Kat says something quippy that I can't remember, but I just remember that it was quippy and she made the face that she makes when she's saying something quippy.
Can't wait to see her back.
I'm excited. I think she says something like, it's dangerous, or like, I think Supergirl says something that's dangerous and she goes, it's the end of the world. Of course it's dangerous. It's something like that. while she's sitting, like, daintily on, like, a storage box or something. I vaguely remember.
We know that next episode is the next to last episode, and it's where Kat comes back for the remaining two episodes. And then we know that, for at the very least, in the very last episode, Superman will be back. And from the one paparazzi set picture we've seen, we know that there's at least one point where, for some reason, Supergirl and Superman are having a fist fight. So I'm very curious to see how that's going to go. What the story there is. What could cause that? I guess. I mean, if she's got control of John, she could be using him to, like, mind control one of them or the other, or both. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm assuming it's mind. I gotta believe it's mind control. Especially if they're not pulling punches, you know what I mean? Like, if they were fighting each other over a disagreement.
The one picture I saw, it's not so much like they are fighting, more as it's like Superman is just getting his, you know, his jaw jacked by Supergirl. And she is like, the shot, I mean, and it's, you know, because it's not, they're not actually fighting, they're actors. but the way that when the shot was taken was just like a perfect timing on it. Because, like, you can tell she is, like, swinging so hard, her, like, hair is, like, flinging with it. and her cape is like up in the air kind of from how hard she's punching. And he is like pulling an awful face with how he's, you know, with like sort of
that
how he's
amazing. Yeah.
With how he's recoiling from it. And he's like clearly like knocked off balance. He's standing all off kilter. So very curious to see how they were both doing a great job of selling, looking like they were really fighting. And I'm very curious to see how that turns out. Very excited about this end of the season. See what's going to happen.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think we've said it quite enough. I loved all the stuff with Jimmy and what's the kid's name? Marcus?
Marcus.
Loved all the stuff with Jimmy and Marcus and the things with that bit where he's like, well, one, I loved that, like, Jimmy's just so desperate to get involved. And he's like, no, I got to blah, blah, blah. He's there. And they're like, thanks. He's like, thank you, Mr. John's like, thank you, Mr. Olson. You know, if we need the Guardian's help, we'll let you know. And he's like, no, I can do this. And he's like, oh, so not only are you a photographer and a crime fighter,
vigilante, but
now you're
also,
he's like, but now you're also a child psychologist or whatever. And then that comes back though. Then when they have that scene where, Jimmy's like, yeah, I blew it. You were right. And John was like, no, this kid needs you. And we need you to stick it out with this kid, you know? And he's like, no, he just, you know, he just likes me. He just thought he liked me cause I'm black or whatever. And he's like, I'm black. And he did not have that connection with me that he had with you. There's clearly something you two share, some kind of connection. And then that's then the scene where Jimmy has that conversation with him about making friends with Clark and just all of that stuff. And then especially then at the end when he does, you know, he does get through to him and is like, Wynn says, he's like, now that's a hero without a suit, you know, like all that stuff was like, give us, if you're going to have Jimmy Olsen be on the show, give us this Jimmy all the time. And also, again, I know that's like, I'm kind of contradicting myself because it's like, I know the show is called Supergirl. And so the main focus has got to be on her. But if you're going to spend time, if you're going to spend time with any of these characters, all I'm saying is make it worthwhile.
Yeah.
Make it, show us the, when you have shown the ability to do really good stuff with these characters and show that you get like an understanding for these characters that works, give us that then. Don't waste our time. Don't just do this like wishy-washy. Oh, they're just giving them something to do. Like that's what's has been great about the start. And then now the end of the season is like, we get stuff where it's like, yes, this is why we like this show. This is why we like these characters. This is why these episodes are like something that can make you go like, this is a reason for someone to watch to go like, yeah, you should watch this show. Supergirl's good. Anyway.
Yeah. And
that's my take.
I'm just going to end with another little bit that I liked about this is when right before Jean gets, starts getting tortured, he says, you don't mess with my family.
Yeah.
And he's clearly talking about like Kara getting hurt.
Yeah.
And I love any time that he sees Alex and Kara, especially as his kids. So yeah, this was a good episode. I feel like, again, it's building off of all the good stuff that we liked about the last few episodes. And and it's so exciting to see, a season like going up towards the season finale and seeing them have this much momentum. So I hope that they're able to use it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you can hear my small furry boy in the background whining.
Yeah, a little.
There's a storm moving in, and suddenly he has, after several years, also it sounds like there's just been nonstop trains for like the last 10 minutes. Hopefully you guys are not hearing all that, but yeah, my boy is starting to get worried. He used to not care about storms at all. They didn't bother him at all. But here in the, like the last couple months, all of a sudden, now he has gotten really scared of them. And so I think that's a good sign. Him whining in the back, he's not going to stop until he can come. he can come either sit right by me and just keep his ears up waiting for the next bit of thunder, or just come get in my lap. So I think that's a good stopping point. We like this episode. Katie, tell them everywhere that they can follow you and all the things that you're doing that they need to check out.
Okay, so you can follow me at Just Plain Tweets on Twitter. My website, justplainsomething.com, is where you can find my web series that I do with my partner called Driving Home the Movie. And I also have a occasional podcast through there where we just talk to each other. Besides that, I have a comic out right now called Moonlighters. It's digital first, and you can find it on Comixology. I just recently, as in like yesterday, officially started another podcast based off of a recaps that I did for Comics Alliance. If you read any of my Steven Universe recaps with L. Collins, the two of us are doing a new podcast through their podcast, Intuit. It's actually going to be, in terms of the RSS, it's going to be very similar to Supergirl Gab. For us, it's just going to be whenever there are Steven Universe episodes during a week, because we know that their series is, the season's pretty sporadic in terms of episodes and when they come out. So whenever there's a new episode of Steven Universe, Elle and I are gonna talk about it, and it will be on the Intuit podcast RSS feed. But yeah, it just went up the night that we recorded, so Thursday, the first episode. So you should go check that out.
Ooh, yay. Listen to that thunder!
Yeah, listen to them. Also, listen to the podcast, and I mentioned Supergirl Gab on there, so there's some synergy with all the podcasts I'm on.
Right. You can follow me on Twitter at @TheChrisHaley. Follow the show at KICTM Podcast. All of the show notes, everything, all of the links for all of this stuff is on keepitclosetome.com. You can subscribe on there to get updates anytime we post something new. Oh, Katie, what's your Patreon?
Oh, it's patreon.com/justplainsomething.
Mine is patreon.com/TheChrisHaley. That's a good things for people to follow. Also, hey, if you're enjoying the show, drop us a letter at keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com. Put Supergirl Gab in the title. And also, if you're enjoying the show, by all means, stop by iTunes and give us a 5-star review. Or, you know, or less if you only like it like 4 stars. But if you like it less than 4 stars, like, then maybe just don't give us a review. But if you've got like really good things to say about it, go do that. That would be fantastic. I think that's about all the stuff.
Yeah, my allergies are kicking in. Your dog is
That's a good place to end.
Adorable furry boy needs your love and affection.
He needs my help to let him know that the storms are. This is the one time in my life that I get to feel like a real superhero is when. I can comfort this small furry boy who who's scared of storms. Like, it's all right, bud. Oh. And then he seems to believe me. So, yeah, guys, thanks for listening. Keep being super to each other, and we'll see you next time in National City.
All right. Bye, everybody. Not that we said anything like
yeah, we didn't say anything upsetting.
Yeah.
Or insulting or inappropriate.